finish the chapter, chapter 6, the end of the chapter is Narada sails off into the sunset. And the verses that we read yesterday evening and this morning were his concluding remarks. So this is just like, this evening is conclusion, wrap up, departure. Okay, so we have a very short children's quiz this evening. First question. What's one of the names of Krishna that we spoke about the other day?
Vasudev.
And what does, you get a bonus if you get the answer to this one. What does Vasudev mean? I didn't say it. It's not in your notes. What is Vasudev? We have two meanings. Vasudev. Vasudev means the son of Vasudev. Vasudev, the son has a long A, Vasudev. So that's one of the meanings of Vasudev. There's another meaning of Vasudev. It means all pervasive. As in Vasudev Sarvamitisa Mahatma Sudurlaba, that verse from Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam Janmanamante Ganavan Mam Prabhajate Vasudev Sarvamiti. Any of your children know that verse? What's the verse? Can you recite it? Bahunam? Ganavan Prabhajate. Mahatma. Okay. You know the meaning? Let's go through the meaning. Bahunam Janmanam. Bahu means many. After many janmas. After many, many births and deaths. Ante. At the end of many births and deaths. Gyanavan. Gyana means knowledge. Van means one who possesses, like Bhagavan. Gyana Van is one who possesses knowledge. Mam prapadyate. Prapadyate means surrender. Right? You've heard that verse before, right? Surrender unto me. Mam prapadyante. They surrender unto me. Why do they surrender unto Krishna after many, many births of pursuing knowledge? When they reach finally the top of the mountain, the knowledge mountain, what do they understand? Vasudev is everything. Krishna is everything. But Sa Mahatma, such a great soul, Su Durlabha, very rare to achieve. Very rare for that to happen. Okay, so Vasudev means, did you write it down? Do you remember? What does Vasudev mean? Two meanings?
Son of Vasudev.
But that's, he's going to give the other meaning. The other meaning is? All pervasive, right? All pervasive. Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is everywhere. What other things do we speak about that you, I should ask you questions about? Remember any? What are things that you remember from yesterday's class? You can take a look at your notes, it's okay. Yeah.
Narada's father is Lord Brahma.
That's right. That's right. But, in one sense, he's Lord Brahma, but in the other sense, Narada has no father. Like Krishna has no father. But he has a father. It's a lila. He appears as if Krishna is the son of Vasudeva, and therefore his name is Vasudeva. So Narada appears as the son of Brahma, although he already has a spiritual body. That's just like a pastime. Very similar. What else? Yes, Neil?
Narada can experience things that didn't happen.
Yeah, that was Vyas especially. Vyas was able to look into the future. Yeah. What's that? You got a point?
Perfection is never attained until one is satisfied at heart.
Yeah, that's really a nice one. Boy, just put that on your Kunti Mala and just keep it there. And how does one get satisfaction of heart? Krishna Kirtan, how does one get satisfaction of heart? Yeah, by the process of bhakti. Very good. And conversely, not by any other thing, or any other thing can become enabled to come close to satisfaction, provided there's bhakti, but then bhakti eventually has to become shuddha. Shuddha means pure. So let's add to that pure bhakti, okay? One cannot achieve perfection unless there's satisfaction of heart, which is achieved only through pure bhakti. Some other points? Yes.
Narada can see the pastime of
Brahma
and Krishna in his heart.
Yeah, when Narada chants, Krishna is attracted. And he's so attracted that he appears in his heart. So he just chants and chants and chants and chants. Non-stop. Okay. Something else we heard about Narada is that he can travel anywhere. We're going to hear some more about how Narada can travel anywhere in the concluding verses. It's freedom. There's this really wonderful, like really wonderful feature of bhakti, which is full surrender, full freedom. Full freedom. Like, as free as Krishna is free, that much freedom. But wait a minute. To get full freedom, you have to surrender? Mm-hmm. Sounds like you lose your freedom. Let's find out what Vyasadeva says in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam about that one. Losing freedom to get freedom. There is something else that we spoke about yesterday, about because Narada is explaining about other processes. Specifically, he's talking about the meditation yoga process. What is it that the meditation yoga process... Kids, pay attention. Ooh. What is it that the yoga process can do, but unlike the bhakti process, it cannot do? What is good about the yoga process? It's good, but not good enough. What is the yoga process good for? Something to do with the senses, remember? Anybody remember?
It's not satisfying.
Yeah, that's what it isn't. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't, because without satisfaction, there's no perfection. So what does it do? Narada grants, he acknowledges. It's true that by the practice of restraint of the senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of kama and lobha, desire and lust, or rajagun and tamagun, the lower modes of nature can subside. But unless the heart is satisfied, remember the straitjacket example? Gag, blindfolded, earplugs, straitjacket. How long can you sit there? At some point, you went out of that straitjacket. But it's artificial. There's no satisfaction of the self. But what does the bhakti process, so the bhakti process gives satisfaction. What does it also do? There's purification of the senses because there's practical activity of the senses connected with Krishna. So the senses become purified by contact with Krishna. Even musical singing, right? The different notes of the musical scale, if used in glorification of Krishna, act spiritually. Very nice. Okay, three verses. That's just review. Final verses of the chapter. Oh, Vyasadeva, you are freed from all sins. Thus I have explained my birth and activities for self-realization as you have asked. All this will be conducive for your personal satisfaction also. So here we go again, personal satisfaction. Atma toshanam. So we heard these phrases, atma supersedati, atma yesterday's verse was atya shamyati, satisfaction at the level of the soul. So here is satisfaction at the level of the soul. And why? So why did Narada narrate his biography, his autobiography? Not for self-aggrandizement, but because hearing how the soul becomes purified from a covered to the liberated position is purifying for the soul. It's satisfying to the soul to hear. And it's giving it's by his own experience. He knows the covered state, what that's like. He knows the not covered state. And he's sharing how to get from the covered to the uncovered state. So in the purport, Prabhupada goes through the stages. Let's see if we can reconstruct the stages. What did Narada explain? What was the first situation? First it was he was fallen, or just like covered, a little jiva covered in Nowheresville, India. Then what happened? Something very special happened. He got some transcendental association. And why did it happen? Mercy. Causeless mercy. The mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord's devotee. They just dropped in the rainy season. There they were for 4 months. So association, sadhu sangha. Then what happened? He hung out with the sadhus. He, in the association of the sadhus, he started doing the things the sadhus did. He received the seed of bhakti, and then they watered the seed of bhakti through the hearing and chanting process. They were hearing and chanting. Their bhakti creeper was really developed. So they were watering their bhakti creeper, and some of the water fell on Narada's bhakti creeper, or bhakti bija, the seed. And it started to grow. What's the next thing that happened? He was just a little boy, but he became detached from worldly circumstances, so much so, like really detached, really absorbed in feeling the presence of Krishna's mercy, that when his mother died, he's a 6-year-old boy, his mother died. And he took it, this is somehow the glorious mercy of the personality of Godhead. That's pretty rare for anybody, what to speak of a six-year-old boy. And what happened next? He continued to cultivate that creeper of bhakti. He went here, went there, detached, experienced all varieties of circumstances, but the creeper of bhakti kept growing because he kept watering the creeper of bhakti. And it grew and grew and grew. The next thing that happened was he was searching his eagerness, emphasis, eagerness. This would be a good question for tomorrow. Eagerness. Searching for the Lord. So what happened? The Lord reciprocated with his eagerness to search for him, and he gave him his audience. Here I am, Hari Bol. And then he disappeared. And then he spoke to him. Such pacifying, soothing, calming words for the disturbed little boy who had no father, had no mother. All he had was the Lord, and the Lord came, and then the Lord disappeared. And he said, I'm normally not available to be seen by a person unless they're fully purified. But just to encourage you to increase your hankering, your eagerness for me, I've shown myself to you. Please continue for the rest of your life like this, and I will award you a spiritual body fit to come into my eternal association. Now, we may not have precisely that kind of experience, but we're getting similar promises from Krishna. The promise from Krishna is he'll take us to him. And what's the price that he's asking? The same price he's asking little Narada. Just continue with this process faithfully. Eagerly. Eagerly seeking the Lord's association. That's going to come up in the next verse. This eagerness is very important. And so, how does Prabhupada conclude the purport? He says, what Narada just described is not found anywhere in the Vedas, this stage of achieving this spiritual perfection. He wants Vyasa to compose one literature that speaks of perfection. And what's that perfection? Meeting the Lord, being in one's relationship, eternal relationship with the Lord. There's many, many, many nice things spoken of in the Vedas, but not sufficiently is this described, and therefore, Narada concludes, this is conducive for your personal satisfaction. And that's what I want you to write about, is that which will bring you satisfaction, and that which will bring all people who you write for satisfaction. Because satisfaction, without satisfaction, one cannot achieve perfection without being satisfied in heart, right? Is that right? Okay. So, that ends Narada speaking. Now, we're back to Sutta. Who is Sutta? Sutta Goswami is the narrator of this first canto, Bhagavatam. In fact, he's, in one sense, the narrator of the whole. He's telling what he heard Shukadeva Goswami speak, but this is just preparing for Shukadeva Goswami to begin speaking. So, Sutta speaking to the sages, because the sages wanted to know how it is that the Bhagavatam appeared. Like we might want to know, how did Krishna appear? How did Govardhan appear in Vrindavan? How did Radharani appear? How did this appear? That, so there's a transcendental appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam. The sages wanted to know that. And so Sutta's been answering that. But it hasn't appeared yet. He hasn't written. Coming up, coming attractions, next chapter, Bhagavatam is going to appear. But this is all leading up to. So Sutta is describing, here's how the Bhagavatam appeared. Vyasa went through this, Narada came, Narada spoke, Narada left. Now there's Vyasa, ready like Narada, after the sages left. So Narada has left and Vyasa is left alone with the instruction. Just as Narada was left with instruction from the sages along with his mother. Just like we have some instructions. We're given the preparation too. If we're eager, we can take the association that we receive properly and cultivate our Krishna consciousness in the right way. It's eligible for anybody. And that's what is being described in the purport. Sutta Goswami said, thus addressing Vyasadev, Srila Narada Muni took leave of him and, vibrating on his veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. So I've got a lot of notes here. This is really a super-duper purport. Prabhupada writes, every living being is anxious for full freedom because that's his natural transcendental nature. And this freedom is obtained only through the transcendental service of the Lord. So we heard about satisfaction only through devotional service. Now it's freedom. This is a nice concept. You know, take a philosophy 101 class and find out what they teach you about freedom. Or a political science class where they speak about freedom. It's not what the Bhagavatam speaks about freedom, that's for sure. Illusioned by the external energy, everyone thinks that he's free, but actually is bound up by the laws of nature. Conditioned soul cannot move freely from one place to another, even on earth. One to speak of one planet to another. But a full-fledged free soul like Narada, always engaged in chanting of the Lord's glory, is free to move not only on earth but in any part of the universe, as well as any part of the spiritual sky. Just imagine the extent and unlimitedness of his freedom, which is as good as that of the Supreme Lord. So he has freedom. Unrestricted freedom. So why does he do what he do? Why did he come? Why did he go? Why does he stay? There's no obligation for him to come, stay, or go. He's free that way also. There's no obligation. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's nothing for me to do, but still I do. But I don't do. I mean, he doesn't do in the sense of doership like we do, like moving something from this place to that place and thinking we're the doer. The Lord is not the doer. Although the energy, material energy, moves by his will. There is no reason or obligation for Narada's traveling. And no one can stop him. He is free. I mean, doesn't have to do anything. And no one can stop him from doing whatever he wants to do. Now Prabhupada is going to crescendo, it's going to build up. Similarly, the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. But Narada and the devotional service that made him Narada is also on that same platform. Free in one sense, it doesn't cost anything, but free in the sense it's unrestricted by anything material. It's not contaminated by anything material. It's not There's some material law that says it can't happen. There's no circumstance that can create it or stop it. Just like Narada. Ahaitoki yapratiyata yayatma suprasediti. When there's satisfaction of heart through devotional service, there's also freedom. Nothing can cause it. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can check it. It's not created by material circumstances, stopped by any obstacle. Totally free. It may or may not develop in a particular person, even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. So what's that? It's not created by sadhana. We can do sadhana for bahunam janmanam ante and still not experience bhakti. Not just, you know, I chanted my rounds for 2 weeks and I'm not feeling bhakti. Or 2 years, or 20 years, or 20 lifetimes. If there's offenses, if it's not done in the right spirit. Because bhakti isn't created by... Rupa Goswami teaches this in Nectar Devotion. Bhakti is not created by vittis, although we follow vittis because that helps us. We need all the help we can get, so we take the help. We follow the vittis. But it's not they are the essence of bhakti. It's the exhibition on the regulative platform of what is meant to come in the spontaneous platform. The platform of love, of deep feeling. Now comes another level of crescendo. Similarly, the association of the devotee is also free. And what does he mean by that? One may be fortunate to have it or one may not have it. Even after thousands of endeavors. So, what makes it happen, the association of devotees? It comes out of their mercy. Because Krishna is sitting in their heart, Krishna indicates, go over there. And they say yes to Krishna. They go over there. And because they're devotees, they, carrying bhakti, they spill some bhakti over here and over there and distribute some bhakti. Because that's what bhaktas do for Krishna. That's what the sages did when they visited Narada. It's not like necessarily they knew, okay, Krishna's got us on this radar screen. He told us there's this Bhakta Narada over there. We're supposed to go hang out and give him some association for 4 months. They just went. And what was the cause? No cause. No obligation. The association of devotees is also free. Therefore, in all spheres of life, in devotional life, freedom is the main pivot. Here's another phrase you expert note takers can write down. Please get your pens ready. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. What does that mean? We've been hearing about this freedom. Without freedom, it means this is where this phrase, and then devotional service began. It means, you know, the Shuddha platform. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. So, we're not on that platform yet. We're on the Vidhi platform. We're obliged. We can't, I don't think I'll chant my rounds today. Tomorrow I think I'll chant 20 rounds. The next day I'll chant 100 rounds. The next day I'll chant no rounds. And, you know, as the spirit moves me. So that's not our platform. The person, we're bound. But that binding ourselves voluntarily brings us to the position of freedom. And that position of freedom is marked by real satisfaction of the heart. That means our chanting and our service is from the heart. This is our opening topic, by the way, for the Festival of the Holy Name. Chanting from the heart. This is a little preview from 6th chapter Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam wants to bring us to that acting from the heart, acting from the platform of the soul. Once again, without freedom, there's no execution of devotional service. So we'll go to the vidhi stage. There's some freedom. Just by taking the restriction of what we will do, what we will not do, there's some submission to Krishna. But now Prabhupada explains it. The essence is the submission to Krishna. It's not the do's and the don'ts. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. In other words, our free will is not surrendered. It's constitutional to the soul. We don't give up our free will. We don't abandon ourselves. We're acting our real selves with full consciousness, full willingness, and we're choosing to not surrender to illusion. We're choosing to surrender to Krishna with love. To whatever degree there is submission, there's some love. So even the vidhi state, there's some freedom through that voluntarily restricting ourselves from some things and voluntarily accepting some things. To surrender unto the Lord through the transparent medium of the spiritual master is to attain complete freedom of life. I mean, it is a masterpiece of a purport. Really, really. Beautiful. I mean, if this Prabhupada is writing it in prose, but if he wrote it in poetry, it would be so glorious. He's leading us very gently, very sweetly and pleasingly to perfection of life. And he's just serving Narada, who's serving his father Brahma, who's serving the personality of Godhead, giving us the goal of life. And real freedom, for which everyone is hankering. Real satisfaction, for which everyone is hankering. Real love, for which everyone is hankering. And not the imitation kind, the real thing. Then the chapter ends. Oho Devarshadi Dhanyo Yam. All glory and success to Srila Narada Muni, because he glorifies the activities of the personality of Godhead, and so doing he himself takes pleasure and also enlivens all the distressed souls in the universe. Wow. Who can even think of all the souls of the universe? Once Prabhupada was asked by a very sincere disciple, Mataji asked Prabhupada, Saradiya asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, when we're chanting the holy name of Krishna, we're chanting our japa, should we think how the holy name is benedictory for all conditioned souls? And Prabhupada's response was, how can you even think of all conditioned souls? You don't have that capacity. So just think of the holy name. But if one can just think of the holy name, it's benedictory for all conditioned souls. And that's Narada. Narada he's so powerful, he can turn hunters into pure devotees. He can turn attached kings into pure devotees. He can turn dacoits into pure devotees. He can turn sons of Daksha into pure devotees. He can take Dhruva Maharaj, who is attached to kingdom. In 6 months, he's a pure devotee. Narada is powerful. Prabhupada's purport. Sri Narada Muni plays on his instrument to glorify the transcendental activities of the Lord and to give relief to all miserable living entities of the universe. No one is happy here within the universe. And what is felt as happiness is Maya's illusion. The illusory energy of the Lord is so strong that even the hog who lives on filthy stool feels happy. We've seen in Vrindavan. They got their snouts running through the gutter and all this yucky, black, murky stuff on their snout. They find some stool and their little curly tail goes, woo! Nectar. Yum, yum. Happiness. That's not happiness. And likewise, from the perspective of the transcendentalist, the happiness of the so-called prosperous materialist is similarly like the happiness of the hog. Not only is temporary, it's simply a covering of the soul, the covering of the real happiness of the soul. The Bhagavatam wants to take us from that position. No one can be truly happy within the mature world. Srila Narada Muni, in order to enlighten the miserable inhabitants, wanders everywhere. His mission is to get them back home, back to Godhead. That is the mission of all genuine devotees of the Lord, following the footsteps of that great sage. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports. Chapter 6, Canto 1. Conversations between Narada and Vyasadeva. Just as Prabhupada saying, he was doing, wandering the face of the globe to serve the mission of the Lord by assisting Narada and the disciple succession coming from Narada. So freedom is one of the themes here. And let's just connect this back one more time to how this whole conversation got launched. It was the sage is asking, how did the Srimad Bhagavatam appear? And then so they began speaking about Vyas contemplating the upcoming Kali Yuga and its horrific features, and Vyas feeling great compassion for those souls that would have to endure the age of Kali. And so he made his best effort. He took all the Vedas and made them accessible to people in general, and four Vedas and supplementary literature and the Puranic literature and the Itihasa literature and the Vedanta Sutra. And felt dissatisfied. The Atma superseded. He didn't happen. And nor for the reader, nor the freedom for the reader. And so Narada is explaining how to bring freedom to the reader and satisfaction to the reader and in turn to yourself. And that means for us, how we can get real freedom. And everyone wants. really transcendental. Just hearing Prabhupada speaking about, you know, the freedom movements and Swaraj. What freedom came? Another government. Another brutal government. And then, you know, then breaking apart into other smaller governments and smaller governments. It's that they also have no freedom. It's illusion. It's simply illusion. But we're so bought into the illusion, it's hard to let go of it. So the process of hearing and chanting is to, in a qualitative manner, is to help us achieve that. Right association. And taking up that association in the right spirit. Okay, so any discussion? Questions? Yeah.
After yesterday we understood that all the Vedas from us, they won't bring the special part. And after we go to Bhagavatam, why would he make the access of the Vedas to the people generally? Because they're really going to be misguided by it. So my thought was, we could as well stop the access of this literature and just one Bhagavatam.
Well, there's detailed answers, but here's a simple answer. Not all persons, if given one option, are going to want that one option. Surrender to Krishna and nothing else. The answer is no. So, something else is provided. So they can gradually come to surrender to Krishna. Because the audience is persons who have already said no. They're in the material world because they said no. And the only option they're given is this yes. So the other portions of the Vedic literature are there for gradual elevation. Gradual improvement of the condition of the rebellious soul. To at least begin human life where there's codes of religion that people follow to bring them to human life. And then gradually through the lower modes of nature to the quality of goodness where they can then consider saying yes.
But if that's the reason, but yes, there must be for some happiness at the time that he's doing. But he felt total dissatisfaction.
And he's feeling dissatisfaction. He's feeling some satisfaction, but dissatisfaction. Just so it's like, what do you do when you've half done something? Not complete. The real happiness or satisfaction is pleasing the Supreme Lord. Our focus, as with Vyas, our focus should be there. Take anything, any worldly thing. Cook a nice meal for a bunch of people. And without the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead, it's as the essence of that is or paint a nice painting, or sing a nice song, or do a nice something. And if it's not with the thought of for the satisfaction of the personality God, it's not fulfilling. The world is filled with such things, according to the modes of nature. How many different musical artists are there that sing songs? A gazillion of them out there. And even the ones that are successful, they're not satisfied. They're screaming it. Can't get no satisfaction. Oh, we'll buy your record. I can relate with that. You sang it so nicely. Anything?
I was thinking about actually this morning's class that you gave on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The thing that you kept mentioning was this fearlessness. And I was also relating to some other lecture that you gave in Mayapur, where instead of the same theme you were mentioning, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he received an instruction and he ran with it. So he made that his mission of life. And so I was thinking for us, to reach this satisfaction that has been talked about here, or having freedom, or becoming fearless, does that come from actually partaking in the mission of one spiritual master by securing that relationship with the spiritual master through partaking in that mission?
Yeah. The extension of what you just said is, and thereby our connection with Krishna. When a soul connects with Krishna, that's fearlessness, that's satisfaction, that's freedom. So how do we access to the, just that's how Prabhupada concludes. Through the spiritual master. Exactly, as you described.
Because I was thinking that at least for myself, in all sorts of fears are primarily because of some insecurity, and it's insecurity in the relationship with Guru and Krishna. So unless one feels secure, and the way to feel secure is by entering some service, that's the way I understand it.
Well, let's add some qualifiers, like you render some service from the heart. Because we're all doing something. And it's all in the category of service to somebody. But from the heart. That's where I was spending some time yesterday on this, the etymological root of sincere. There was another one. One was the lines in marble. Another example is Greek, when they would make statues, sometimes the statues would break. So they would put wax where the break was. So the statues that weren't broken and repaired with wax were sincere, without wax. It's the real thing. Pure, unadulterated, real thing. Unmixed with anything. That kind of service. Because there can be all kinds of reasons people do service. I want attention. Mm-hmm. I want recognition. I want some money. I want some fame. Passion. Or I want to get the other guy. Ignorance. Because it's described in Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti, different kinds of devotional service. So at least mode of goodness, where one is striving for purity. Because beyond purity is love. Purity is still a mode of goodness. But untainted purity is love. So the fear that you're describing is that, you know, that connection isn't, it's not at the love stage yet. It's a very nice topic. It comes in several places in the Bhagavatam where out of fear the wind blows and, you know, things like that. The sun rises and the demigods do, you know, things because the upside is because it's to be done. The downside is if I don't, I'm going to get smacked. You know, it's bad, it's wrong, and there's outcomes for things that are bad and wrong. There's suffering. I don't like to suffer. I want to not suffer. I want whatever the not suffering is. I want to be accepted. I want acknowledgement. I've got this need. So with that comes fear. The other side is this duality. And so from the heart is, it's just, that's not the reason. It's the loving relationship. And the whole of the process of bhakti is to draw us once again into that loving relationship. That's the glory that we're hearing about Narada. Because of that, he has that freedom. He's not going somewhere because he's got his marching orders. You know, like a cab driver, he gets to the next place and he gets a signal, you know, this walkie-talkie, and Krishna sends him to the next place. He has freedom like Krishna has. He's free. And Krishna may, you know, through his being situated in the heart, give him some signal. But it's a loving position. It's not out of obligation. Okay, I won't get paid unless I go to the next place. And so it's not, you know, there's no perks. It's just love. That's freedom. From the outside, it looks like, oh, you've surrendered all your freedom. And, you know, it's not that at all. Someone was just sharing that they were being challenged in that way. You've given up your freedom. We're achieving it. And it is the position of fearlessness. No harm can come to bhakti. It's eternal. It's as free as Krishna is free.
Srila Prabhupada writes in one sentence in Bhagavad Gita that there is no fear in transcendental realization. That's simple.
It's unmotivated by obligation. Obligation is, if I don't, there's consequences. And if I do, there's perks. So I do. That's good. That's human. That's not transcendence. And so now back to, you know, why did Vyasa write the other stuff? Because persons weren't ready for transcendence. They're ready for being moved by fear or being moved by, I'll get some perks. Ignorance and passion. And goodness is just for sake of purity. Because it ought to be done. Because it's what But you do. You speak the truth. Because you speak the truth, because it's the right thing to do. And there's consequences if you lie. It's tinged. Just tell somebody, oh, don't worry about that, just surrender to Krishna. Anything else? Yes?
Maharaj, like, we have always, like, you know, heard, like, bhakti is not awarded. Bhakti is awarded by the mercy of, like, you know, self-realized souls. And here, like, this brings us to a vidhi platform. But now, this statement is, like, you know, I need to hear something more, like, without freedom, there is no execution of bhakti. So, like, these two things are two different. Like,
they look like it, they're not. There's, so, let's talk, because we're going to be entering into this festival of the holy name. So let's talk about the holy name. There's Shuddha Nam. That's not what we're doing. Then there's Namabhas. That's what we're doing. And we're trying to, you know, get away from the backside, which is Nam Aparad. So, we're chanting. We're not chanting Shuddha Nam. So this is speaking similarly of Shuddha Bhakti. And we have to pass through Bhakti Abhas to get to Shuddha Bhakti. Without freedom, there's no execution of Shuddha Bhakti. So there's degrees of, I covered this, there's degrees of freedom. I've mentioned that there's, just by submitting ourselves to the regulations of sadhana bhakti, there's some submission. With that submission comes some freedom. But it's not Shuddha. We got our, you know, our baggage. I want, we got a long list. And I don't want, we've got another long list. Therefore, I'm engaged in bhakti. It's our baggage. And Shuddha has no, doesn't have any of that. And we're not on the platform of Narada Muni. But we're followers of Narada Muni, and we're to learn from him. And then we come to the platform of full freedom. And then it's pure devotional service. And then that chanting attract Krishna. Well, Krishna will appear in our heart. So we're chanting, but not that chanting. We're to strive for that. You know, we're fortunate, we're very fortunate even to have that distinction. Right? I mean, to have the holy name plus have that distinction. And then have these role models and the potencies of their instructions to carry us there. Very compassionate. They want to take us there. Does that help?
Yeah. Just to, like, you know, what I feel, Guru Maharaj, is like, you know, I should keep attached to, like, the devotees. And
good.
Then this will be like, you know, a descending platform.
Yes, it is a descending platform. But there's two parts to it. What's our key word for this evening? Eagerness. Reaching. And then receiving. Because that descending mercy is there. We're just hiding under a rock somewhere, calling out, "Where is Krishna?" Or, you know, "Where is my inventory list of things I want?" So it's both. Important lesson. We concentrate, we need to simultaneously concentrate on sincere effort. At the same time, feel ourselves from the heart, feel ourselves eagerly, because that's in part of the stages that Narada went through, seeking, hankering for, searching for that connection. And it's not, just following what Jagatananda said, it's not it's part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava teaching that one feels, I've abandoned that connection, I'm not feeling that connection because of, you know, so this conditioned state I'm in. But I know that you're very merciful. So kindly show your mercy. And being in that space, that reaching out space, that's Krishna consciousness. That's the seed unfolding. Although it may feel, in one sense, uncomfortable, and we like to be comfortable, but it's the healthy kind of, you might say, sense of incompleteness. It's the eager anticipation. It's the mood of separation from that Lord who we abandoned, but He didn't abandon us, but we abandoned Him. We abandoned ourselves too. So it's seeking for that connection once again. It's part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava teaching, a core part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava teaching. Hankering for that reconnection with Krishna. You know, get used to it. It's good. And Krishna reciprocates. Krishna is not hard-hearted. He's very soft-hearted. But He wants our purity. He wants that eagerness to grow. Therefore, He showed Himself to Narada, then disappeared from Narada. So that full purity would come, then He's always in His heart, showing Himself. Narada doesn't have to go and look for Him anymore. It's just chance. There He is. Same as what Prahlad says. For myself, I don't need anything. I just remember you and immediately you're there. But my demoniac father, he's got a big problem. All this torturing of people that he's done for years and years and years. And he's going to have to suffer a whole lot, so please forgive him. For me, I don't need anything. It's the compassion of the Vaishnava. It goes beyond our own, our own spiritual hankering. The oceanic nature of a Vaishnava, it goes beyond that. Hey Radhe Braja Devi Ke Chalalite Enanda Suna Sita. So that our Goswamis taught by their example that searching for Krishna, although they were in contact with Krishna, their mood. But that feeling of separation is another type of leading. It's another completeness. It's not the sense of incompleteness, although it looks like it. It's a transcendental. Mood. Something else? Yes?
You mentioned that unless we are free, we do not feel satisfied at heart. So, whatever we are feeling satisfied with, the little happiness and little satisfaction, sometimes like while preparing for service, sometimes I take satisfaction and happiness. Is it all illusionary or?
No. It's a glimpse. Rupa Goswami describes it in Nectar Devotion. Krishna is giving us a glimpse to encourage us. It's abhas bhakti. But it's very encouraging. Yes.
So that's also part of the devotional service. When you said, and then devotional service starts. So is that also given in glimpses?
Excuse me?
Is that also shown in glimpses, the devotional service?
Yeah. But that shuddha, it's no longer. Here's how we're getting up there, but you know, okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in Madhurya Kandambani that in the bhava stage there are surges of ecstasy that just overwhelm the devotee. And then another surge of ecstasy. And the stage of prema is where there's simultaneous, multiple mixing of surges that don't stop. That's prema. Prema bhakti. So, bhava bhakti is also shuddha. It's beyond the any trace of material influence. And from bhava bhakti, prema bhakti comes. So, in the love of God stage, it's not just glimpses. It's overwhelming. We're not there. We're way down here. Krishna's helping to encourage us. But it's personal. It's direct personal reciprocation with Krishna. He's giving a little glimpse. And it's not a teaser, it's an encouragement. It's to help us go further. He's hearing our prayers. He's reciprocating with our extensions of service and love. But still mixed with all of our baggage. And so, he's reciprocating. Continue to qualify yourself. So that's the message. Continue to qualify yourself because I'm there. I'm eager for a loving exchange. Come further. Yes.
Sometimes, like, when we do the service, like you said, sincere efforts and eagerness, but also, we might have, like, the baggage.
That we might have. We do.
Sorry.
Okay.
So then, what practically? What should I do, like, you know, so that the service mood is consistent?
Two things. One God brother, Vaisheshika Prabhu, has this really catchy phrase. Where attention goes, energy flows. I don't think it's Vedic, but it's, you know, it's how things happen. So, in Bhagavad Gita, it's nasate vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sataha ubayor api drishton tastraniyosh tatpadarshibi, or where attention goes, energy flows. The tatpadarshi recognizes this is asat. So attention is withdrawn. There is sat. Attention goes. The energy flows. So withdraw attention. So there's the baggage, and then there's the realm of the eternal, of the eternal devotional service. Pure, the realm of pure devotional service, not intermittent. glimpses, but there's eternal devotional, pure devotional service. So what you cultivate, and behind that one comes, I have these other things that distract my attention. So let me drop some of this baggage. But if you try to go the other direction, just try to drop the baggage so you can get to the other place. That's what we read about, was Narada saying about the meditation process. It can be effective to control the senses, and when the senses are controlled, the disturbances caused by trying to find happiness by the senses involved in sense objects, the disturbance subsides. It doesn't bring satisfaction to the soul. We want satisfaction. Let's go to the satisfaction of the soul side. And then, automatically, the strength, because your question was how to sustain, the strength to sustain the let go of the baggage and just leave it alone. Don't go back and pick it up again. Intermittently. The bad habits or the distractions or the material desires or selfishness or anger or lust or greed or etc. Just chuck it. Throw it in the river carries it downstream, you can't go back and get it. It's gone. It's gone. And I'm busy over here in the realm of Sat. And how can one get into that realm of Sat? By association with those who are in the realm of Sat. This is where Sadhu Sangha comes. Always, repeatedly described in the Vedas. Including in our core practices of chanting. That's why we're having this festival of the holy name, to get, you know, get some of that Sadhu Sangha going, and our attraction for the holy name, so our distraction from all that other stuff that we've been involved with for not just this lifetime, but countless lifetimes. It's really stuck. Like a stain, like tar, like it doesn't want to. So, Sat. And then back to this other, you know, we diligently apply ourselves in the proper practices, knowing full well the practices alone are not going to generate bhakti. But when Krishna sees our sincere desire, he'll reciprocate. Anything else? We're done. Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada.
So, Shiva Prabhupada Swami Maharaj ki.